You'll hear the men and women of the Bible give four words over and over again when you say, for example, nobody likes me, I want to die, I want to quit. Jeremiah, been there, done that. Yeah, but people are complaining all the time. I'm trying my best and they complain. Moses looks at you and says, been there, done that. Well, what about me? I've lost my life and I've given myself to so many men. And Rahab will say, been there, done that. You see, God has put men and women in the Bible to help you because you can make it through.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. A lot of people don't read the Bible because they say they cannot understand it. Others won't read it because they think it's archaic and has no relevance in our modern society. Well, today, Pastor Wayne is going to show us that the Bible is relevant. In fact, it's more relevant than this morning's newspaper, and probably a lot easier to understand, for that matter. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, The Purpose of the Bible.
Now, the Bible contains history, but it's more than a historical book. Although every historical location here is provable, and you can find it today, it contains more than history. In fact, today, the Bible is more relevant than this morning's newspaper because it applies to every single one of us. It gives unchangeable principles. And one of the basics of learning wisdom is to know what must change and what must never change. You get those two mixed up, you're in trouble. And that's where modernism comes in, or our secular society comes in. We've mixed up what must never change with what must be changed, and we flip it around. And the Bible, to many people, is really something archaic and obsolete, when it is not. It's so relevant. It is so very relevant. It is the best business book you'll ever find, the best book on parenting, the best book on marriage, family, your future, your purpose. Everything is here in the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible here was written not for people long ago. It was written for us today. Say, are you kidding? Yep. In fact, that's exactly what the first scripture says. Would you read it with me? It's in your notes, and we're going to take a look at the scripture right at the top of our notes. We're going to read it together in our most robust voices. Are you ready? All right, go. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have. You see, God knew that we would need a guidebook in the midst of a society that's in flux, that's changing. Years ago, that society's morals and mores would change every generation. There'd be a change. And then it went to every 2 years. Now, our society changes every 28 days. It moves so fast, the things that change, movies that come out, games that come out, what's happening in the media, the examples of leaders, good or bad, things are changing. And marketers know that if they don't change trends fast enough, they don't get you to spend money like they need your money. So they've got to change trends and put on these cool models with these trends so that yesterday's fashion is today's disaster. And so you've got to buy something new. Well, it's a marketing ploy, and we're caught up in this washing machine of changing trends and fashions, and it goes right into the morals. What used to be wrong yesterday is a new normal. It's right today. And what was something that was right yesterday is wrong today. And it changes that fast. So we get this distraction on either side of us, and it is the propensity of the human to get caught right into it and get swept up into it. The Bible gives you an anchor to keep you strong and steady in the midst of a changing and fluctuating society. Well, how do we get that? Through hope in others who have gone before us. You see, the Bible is filled, replete with people who have gone before us and were successful. Some weren't. But they leave clues behind. Success leaves clues, and so does failure. And so the Bible is going to leave some clues behind so that we can follow. In fact, would you write it down? The first, write down on the bottom, next in your notes there, it says, every problem you will encounter will have been already encountered by someone in the Bible. Write that down. Every problem you will encounter will have already been encountered by someone in the Bible, and they leave clues. Because you've got to traverse the same pathways that have all kinds of rabbit trails. And those in the Bible are saying, here, walk with me here, because I've been through that. You'll hear the men and women of the Bible give four words over and over again when you encounter the problems that they encountered. When you say, for example, I feel so discouraged, undervalued, nobody likes me, I want to die, I want to quit, I want to quit. Jeremiah will say to you four words, been there, done that. Yeah, but people are complaining all the time. I'm trying my best and they complain. Moses looks at you and says, been there, done that. Well, what about me? I've lost my life and I've given myself to so many men and I don't feel like God can use me anymore. I just want to check out. Rahab will say, been there, done that. You see, God has put men and women in the Bible to be mentors along the way, to help you because you can make it through. And many already have. And they're going to say, just come, follow in this way. And so we need to read the Bible. Otherwise, we'll be like that video. We'll be very illiterate. We won't know what the Bible says. And everything God has for your future in life will be unlocked through the keys found in the Scriptures. But you have to go to it. Otherwise, we'll be what they call illiterate in the Bible. I'm going to give you a pop quiz. Are you ready? Four questions. Here it is. Everybody ready? Okay, here's the first one. Who teaches you how not to get duped by beautiful women with ulterior motives? Samson, Joseph, or Amnon and Tamar? How many of you say the first one? What was that? Oh, yeah, Samson. How many say Samson? Good. How many of you say Joseph? Okay, how many of you say Amnon and Tamar? Correctamundo. All of you are right. It's all three. I wanted to start off with something where you would be guaranteed to get it right. Here's the second one. What do you do when everything you prayed for fails? But if they'll say to you, but if you hang in there, it will come out good in the end. Is it Job, Moses, or colonoscopy? How many say Job? Good. How many say Moses? Good. Colonoscopy. Yes, it comes out good in the end. I'm older, but God can still use me because I believe God's not done with me yet. How many people in the Old Testament will have said that? Here's a few of them, and God did use them. How many say it was Caleb? How many say it was Joshua? Good. How many say it's Abraham? Oh, good. Well, all three of you are right, because all of them are true. Caleb, Joshua, and Abraham. Now, here's the toughest one. It was written on the wall, these words, difficult words, foreign words, mene, mene, tekel, uparsin, which means you've been weighed in the balances and you've been found wanting. Renew your heart now. Who was that said to? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, or Hezekiah? How many say Nebuchadnezzar? Raise your hand. Hey, Belshazzar, raise your hand. Okay, very good, young man. He raised his hand. How many of you say Darius? All right, how many say Hezekiah? How many of you didn't say anything because you're afraid to be wrong? Because you don't know. Well, young man, you were right. It was Belshazzar. Belshazzar. He's in the line of the kings behind Nebuchadnezzar on the way to Darius and Cyrus, etc. So, we need to be people who understand the Word of God and find out what it says because we need hope for tomorrow. So you must look for, when you look in the Bible, would you write down number one? So what do you look for? Number one, you look for examples to follow. Examples to follow. See, the Bible's purpose is to give you examples of people that have gone through it before, who have struggled. Some have failed. But they'll give us examples. examples to follow. Let's read another scripture. It's almost like the first. Read it with me. Go. Now, these things happened to them as an example and were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Folks, listen. Things that were written in earlier times are written for us, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Do you know that you're living in the end times? Yep, you see, what used to be normal back then is not now. Everything's changing so fast, it's going from bad to worse. The government is stepping in to morals and adjusting and ratifying what is immoral as moral. And people now have different laws. Shall I go with the government laws because they say it's okay? No, you live by a far higher law. A law that doesn't fluctuate with men's whims and the cultural changes. This is an anchor that has remained firm from the beginning of time. And you're a people of a higher law. Because if you get sucked into man's laws, you'll be changing, and in the end, it'll be wrong. If you stay with God's law, it will free you from that. Free you from having to try something because it's not wrong, it's not illegal, but it will still kill you. You need to be free from the duping and the mythology that goes on that says nothing wrong with this. I don't know if you know this, but just recently, you know, with the homosexuals that can marry one another or gays or lesbians, etc. So same-sex marriage is kind of like the thing now, and everyone's saying, good, go for it. Did you know that just recently, I think it was a month ago, a lady married herself? She's narcissistic. She was so in love with herself, she married herself. True. Because if you think about it, the dysfunction's going to keep taking place. There'll be people that love their horse or their dog so much, they'll marry their dog. I love my dog. It's my constitutional right to marry my horse. And then the next step, polygamy. Where why not me marry two wives? I can afford them. Three wives, five wives. And so what's going to happen is a very dysfunctional society. You think we're getting forward in advance? No, we're going backwards to polygamy. Hundreds of years ago, when we buy into the myth that everything's advancing and getting more contemporary, no, we're not. We're getting more archaic and obsolete under a new wrapping. Narcissism and bestiality and polygamy, that all happened during the Roman times, but it's under a new wrapping now, and we're ratcheting all the way back. God gives us a law that says this must never change because you're in the end times and you must have much greater wisdom than is being proliferated right now. And so look for examples to follow because the ends of the ages have come upon us and we must be wiser. So that's why the scripture says the things happened to them as an example for us and were written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. First, look for examples to follow because success leaves clues and so does folly. So you need to know the differentiation between the two. So one, look for examples to follow, and the Bible will be replete with that. Raw, unedited accounts of men and women who've done it right and who've done it wrong. And so we must see them. The second thing is, would you write down that not just examples to follow, but lessons to learn. Lessons to learn. When one guy turns around and says, I got burned, you don't have to get burned. But you've got to be able to read the Word of God and understand the consequences that took place here and say, I don't want the same consequences. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 10, it says this, and it's a verse right before what you're about to read. Let me read it as a preface. It says this, let us not grumble as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, who's the destroyer? Yeah, John 10:10 says a thief comes to steal, to kill, and to... All right. So, you see, one of the things in lessons to be learned is when we grumble, and that's just our identity, we just like grumbling about stuff that we don't like, that doesn't match our palate. What happens is it's not just an emotional outburst. It actually, the Bible is saying, it opens the door to the destroyer. When I grumble about my marriage or my church or my this or my job, you're letting in the enemy so that he will destroy it even more. So grumbling isn't just a bad habit, it is a spiritual devastation. So that's why it's listed and recorded right here in the Bible. It says, let us not grumble as some did and were destroyed by the destroyer. And it's talking about the times of Moses. And now let's read the very next verse, and we're going to read that out loud. Go. Now these things happened as examples for us, so that we would not crave evil things as they also craved. And do not be idolaters, nor let us act immorally as some did. And 23,000 fell in one day. See, the scripture says, now these are lessons to be learned. Be careful, don't act immorally, where 23,000 fell in one day. I wonder how many through immorality is falling every day in America. I wonder. Through immorality, not only women, but men as well. Families being broken up, sexually transmitted diseases going around, AIDS, all of these things because of immorality. Children being conflicted today because of what's happening between mom and dad. Just praying with a lady just recently who's one of the family members that has been sexually abusing her daughter, and now it's in court. It's happening all around us. How many are falling in one day? I bet 23,000 in America. And see, God is saying, follow these examples. In fact, let me just give you an example of a recent case. Her name is Miss Sebring, and her first name is Nancy. She's over in Des Moines, Iowa. She was the head of the Department of Education. She was being promoted to the chief of schools, all schools over in Omaha, Nebraska, over in Nebraskan schools. When they found 40 plus explicit emails and texts that she used on her office computer, which wasn't to be used for personal things, 40 texts and emails and pictures of her lover in very unfashionable poses. And so the Department of Education said, number one, you can't use a city computer for personal things, and especially explicit sexual things that she's having with. She's married to one man, and she's now emailing her lover with some pictures. So they caught her and said, what's going on? And here's her response. Listen to this. I want to say that I think that every individual is entitled to a private life, and it disappoints me that people think that this is newsworthy. Any repentance there? Any contrition? Nothing. See, what happens is we get to this new normal and we think it's no big deal. But how many are falling? Well, I should keep my job. Well, even though she gets her job, what's happening right now to her husband? You think he's happy? What about her kids? Do you understand how many are falling because of immorality? And the third thing, which should apply to every single one of us, a woman with that kind of lifestyle that sees nothing wrong is now going to oversee what our children are learning. She's about to oversee the schools. So we promote this person. Our kids come under that. You can teach what you know, but ultimately you're going to reproduce what you are. Do you understand? The future generation will be in confliction because they see all this incongruency. And we're putting them up as models. And the danger of that is they see nothing wrong. In fact, let's read what it says here. In Proverbs 30 and verse 20, go. This is the way of an adulteress. She says, I have done. Yep. Would you write in your next bullet point there? They adjust their consciences to match their desires. They adjust their conscience. Instead of adjusting their lifestyle to match their conscience, they tweak their conscience to match their lifestyle. And it happens all around us. It's the same thing that happened in Genesis chapter 3, when the devil met with Eve. Do you remember that story? And Eve's the serpent said, hey, by the way, eat that fruit. Eve said, ooh, wait a minute. God said, no. Oh, did God really say that you shouldn't? I tell you what, you could read this in Genesis 3. I tell you what, he said, you can eat the fruit because it's beautiful. And God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. and you will know the difference between right and wrong. Here's what the devil was saying. God knows that you are strong enough to decide for yourself what's right or wrong. You don't need God. You'll be like God. You call the shots. You don't need God to tell you what's right or wrong. You can decide for yourself. And so that's exactly what's happening. People are deciding for themselves. Well, it's wrong for you, but it ain't for me. And people have bit into that from the beginning of time, because the very next sentence says that Eve went and took the fruit. So we see that God is saying, be careful, because there is a law that's higher, free you from the consequences. Remember, there's two pains in life, the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. Either I'll say I'm going to be a disciple, it's where the word discipline comes from. I'm going to be discipled by God's word. The pain of discipline, will it cost you something? Sure it will. Or the pain of regret. Or in a sailor's verbiage, you will either be ruled by the rudder or you'll be ruled by the rocks. It's up to you. So look for lessons to be learned, because there is one that'll give us a straight path. Otherwise, we will be duped by the one who duped Eve. You got to remember, the world changes, but the word never does. You choose. The word never does. The world changes, but the word never does. If you think about it this way, Solomon was like Leonardo da Vinci, Albert Einstein, Thomas Edison, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, wrapped up into one. He was a brilliant man. People came from all over the world to hear his wisdom. Amazing. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13, you're going to find a very interesting thing. And we just came through that in our devotions. But Solomon, whose head must have been just massive because his brain was so good, he said, I'm going to try to figure out life under the sun. You know what that means? Without God. Just scientifically, because my mind is so good. I'm going to try to figure out the purpose of mankind, the purpose of life, scientific genetics. I'm going to study all of these things under the sun or under heaven. Means not using God or not using heaven, I'm just going to try and figure it out. And so you'll read the whole book of Ecclesiastes where he tried to figure out stuff about his body, his anatomy, about insects, about people, about sexuality, about women. And he just did everything under the sun. And then you'll come to Ecclesiastes 12, the last chapter in that book, verse 13. He comes to the point where he said this. And you can read it there someday, and it says this. Here's the conclusion. I tried to be scientific and not include God. Here's the conclusion. When after all is heard, here it is. Fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. Now remember, this guy's the most brilliant scientist, geneticist, biochemist. He is the best quantum physicist around. And when he tries to keep God out of everything, just so he can figure it out himself, at the end of his life, he says, whew, vanity of vanities, it's all vanity. What do you mean? Without God, you can't figure it out. Because if God is not involved, it brings you to a dead end in the end. So here it is. I've spent my whole life doing this. Here it is. And he's a lot smarter than us. Fear God, keep God's commandments. You should do that in the beginning, not in the end. Now I figure, if Solomon is that smart and he came to that conclusion in the end, you and I could be smarter if we come to that conclusion in the beginning. You understand the examples to follow and the lessons to learn? This is a fabulous book, because every problem you will have gone through, someone already has, and they're a lot smarter than us. And they leave crumbs behind. But we're going to have a tendency to miss it all, because we're trying to figure things out without God. And once you do that, you mess everything up.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled The Purpose of the Bible by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.